Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm Gurmi and Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, brother. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, welcome back. Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm the king of this podcast, boys. The jungle. But never mind.
I liked it. 10 stars. No notes.
No. Lots of notes. Lots and lots of notes. And Steve, glad to have you with us this week.
Glad to be here. I will not be singing for you.
And you really don't.
I only sang 10 notes. That's my maximum.
I mean, let's face it, because that's what friends are for. So, if you guys have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, including next week, looking at the highest grossing animated film ever. So, but this
That's
week.
That's crazy.
Anyway. We are jumping back into the Disney vault for an animated one we haven't actually done yet. We are doing the original Jungle Book. This was 1960, came out in 67, I believe. Yeah,
67 was the date on the movie.
Yeah. Was the last Disney movie that Walt Disney actually supervised and had a very big part in. He did a couple other things as far as he had seen a few storyboards for a couple of the later movies, but this was the last Walt Disney presents The Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. Follows the story of Mowgli, Man-Cub, who we never really figure out how he ends up in the jungle. But he ends up living with a set of wolves who apparently know how to make diapers. and then Shere Khan the tiger has shown back up in the jungle, who hates men and therefore will try and kill Mowgli. Bagheera the no-nonsense panther says he needs to go, and the wolf pack all agree he needs to go back to the village. Mowgli doesn't want to go. Along the way, they run into Baloo, the bear, who is happy-go-lucky. I mean, it's a Phil Harris character, so it's Thomas the Mallee Cat. It's Little John from Rome. It's the same character every time. Then they run into a couple different villains. They run into Ka, who was a boa constrictor who can hypnotize people. They run into King Louie. The orangutan king of the apes, and they run then, of course, into Shere Khan, who is the tiger. And we really only see Shere Khan at the end. And it ends up that they end up getting him to the man village, and he doesn't want to go, and he doesn't want to go until he runs into the thing that is nothing but trouble. He sees a girl.
Nothing but trouble.
And she, for lack of a better term, she Twitter-pates him.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, and he decides to go with her rather than back into the jungle. So, that summary was also the last animated movie under the old Hays Code of movie rules, where this was truly one of the last unrated movies.
Mm-hmm.
After this, it was the GPG, all that came in. So, but what about this movie was King of the Swingers? What really worked for you with this movie? Pete, I'll start with you.
Well, I think Phil Harris in any of these Disney movies is entertaining. I'm probably taking what someone else thought, but like, Baloo, the scenes with Baloo are probably the best parts of the movie in my particular view, the funniest parts and everything. I'll stick with that and I'll let everybody else go.
Steve?
For the most part, the songs. Like, they're catchy songs. People start humming them like we go through. I mean, I also have songs for our next question, but for the most part, the songs, they're very catchy. I grew up with them. So,
and I would agree that the songs are definitely the highlight of this movie. Sherman Brothers wrote everything except Bare Necessities. Bare Necessities was actually left over from the original song treatment.
What do you mean the original song treatment?
Originally, the music and the storyline was a lot darker.
Oh.
And they decided this doesn't work. So they liked the song Bare Necessities. And they said they told the Sherman Brothers to come in and write new music for the rest of it.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Want to Be Like You and Trust in Me and all those are Sherman Brothers songs. So, Kate, what was the best part for you?
So, I think it's been a minute since we've watched like an original Disney animated. It's been at least a few months. Mm-hmm. And Casey and I watched part of this together. I watched most of it by myself, but Casey watched part of it with me. And we got to talking about the animation. And he was like, I love how, and he kind of pointed out to me, and once he said it, I couldn't unsee it, but it also made it more interesting. I love the original animation of this. I mean, Pete kind of took mine of the voice of Baloo. What was funny to me is like, I would look at Baloo, but I would hear Thomas O'Malley. But then when we watched the Aristocats, when I heard Thomas O'Malley, when I saw Thomas O'Malley, I heard Baloo. So it just cracked me up a little bit. But Casey kind of pointed out how like he loved how the animation that wasn't moving, that wouldn't like if Baloo like moved a limb out of the way, that limb would move. Well, some of the animation in the background isn't going to move, and how it was just a little bit. It was not as like crisp of colors as the things that moved. And so that kind of gave me, when he pointed that out, I was like, that is so interesting. And then I couldn't unsee it. But it gave me a newer appreciation for that animation. While I love the animation, that we have today, there is something so nostalgic to me and just so like, it's like a warm hug of the original animation. Even though it's like not quite as crisp and clean as today, I think that was my favorite part. Whether that's special to this movie in particular, it was just something that stood out to me this time. Yes, I love the songs, but yeah, just the animation.
I don't think it is special because I remember specifically when we watched Fantasia 2000, and then they put in the Sorcerer's Apprentice clip, and how the animation on that was just so much, like I'm talking about, it was so much better than the rest of it. That, and I think now, Kate, are what you talking about, like only the arm would move type thing, so only the arm would be animated essentially, and the rest of the body was there?
Or no, it's like,
because that happened also.
Sure.
Well, I mean, that's all about the original way animation was done is there was a background plate, which had the image of the background. And then there were the cells that they put on the background plate. And then they took pictures as they moved the cells out of the way. So a lot of the older before you got to computers, a lot of the older, and that's why cameras basically did this and did this, because they were panning across the one painting kind of. I do want to say, I'm not sure if it's a compliment to this movie. I felt it felt more obvious in this movie, what you're saying, than even in a lot of the older Disney movies, because I thought Disney was very good at taking the Disney animation studios are very good at taking the background and compositing it with the foreground in a way that it doesn't feel like they're separate. And we all noticed, like my wife said the same thing that you made, same comment you made, which was like, oh, the backgrounds look very different or something like that, she said. And you know, my daughter, obviously animation student, we both made the comment about how animation worked back then. And I thought this was not one of the better quality animation movies coming out of the Disney. Well, it was typical of post Walt quality, let's put it this way. I think it's about budget.
It was better than 101 Dalmatians animation. It wasn't as blatantly Xeroxed.
Well, okay. I thought it felt more appropriate in 101 Dalmatians because of all the dogs than it did here. But I'll agree with that. I mean, it was basically, I guess I should more say post Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
Through Fox and the Hound or so that, I don't know. There's a cheapness to it.
It was almost rushed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just think they didn't have the budgets, they didn't have the staffing, and so
they didn't have the talent.
They didn't do it. Well, it's the same. I mean,
you
look at the names on this movie. It's the nine old men that did all the animation for it. Those are the names when they flipped up the names.
Right.
It's Mitt Kahl and Ollie Johnson and forget the
Frank
name.
Thomas, Wolf.
They're all listed in there. So. You know, it's not that they don't know what they're doing, but I think it's more just the budget that they had to do everything with less, so to speak.
Okay. So if that's what we liked about it, and we kind of touched a little bit on it, but what should have been tamed? What did not work for this movie? Steve?
The vultures. I felt like I got to the vulture scene and it was such a different song compared to the other songs at that point. And it felt like it just sort of halted there. And I know from watching like the bonus features that they had to change things around because originally they wanted the voice of the Beatles or have the Beatles record the song.
No.
And they said no. So they changed it to that barbershop quartet. And I also know there was supposed to be a rhino. I think his name was Max or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I feel like instead of leading it, they tried to save it, but it hurts overall.
Yeah. You're right. That scene feels very different from the rest of the movie. Mm. If nothing else, it's not in the true jungle. It's in this burnt out wasteland, which I never quite weird. Understood.
Yeah. It's the elephant graveyard.
Yeah, pretty much. For me, the plot on this was so weak. So weak.
That was mine.
Getting hit. Well, then I'll let you expand upon it, Kate, and I can add on.
No. You go for it. I think you and I are in agreement that the plot is just. It's fine.
I'm sorry. The overarching plot of having to have him out of the jungle so that the Shere Khan doesn't come get him. But that's only the last 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes of the movie.
I would have loved an entire movie just based on the little elephant and the daddy elephant. I would have watched a 90-minute movie about them.
Okay. Now, you have heard a bunch of those elephant voices before.
I'm sure I have.
Okay. Yeah. The female elephant, Verna Felton. Fairy Godmother, Flora, lots of different ones. This was actually her last voice talent that she did. She actually died the day before Walt Disney did.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that. Mowgli was also Christopher Robin. Clint Howard, who you have seen in lots of stuff. Think, you know, if it's a comedy movie, especially if it's a Ron Howard movie, and the guy that has the bald head back to about here. Is Clint Howard. That's actually Ron Howard's brother. He was the voice of the little elephant. He was also Piglet.
Oh.
No, sorry. No. I'm wrong on that. He was Roo. My mistake.
Gotcha.
But yeah, just the plot. And then it felt like if the subsections of Mary Poppins had not been as good as they were, it would have been this movie. Just because the different chunks, you could tell different animators did different chunks of this movie because it did not flow at all to me. So that was my biggest, is just the overall plot was kind of a really, I mean, I actually had to, honestly, I was watching it this afternoon. I had to back it up because I fell asleep for like a decent, part of that is I'm a teacher. It's right before spring break. I'm exhausted. But
okay. So before Pete goes, then did anyone watch the extra clip with the alternate ending?
No, I did not.
No, I didn't. I didn't even see it.
So supposedly there was an alternate ending, which is more like Disney-like, where Mowgli goes to the village and he meets up with his parents. His parents are alive and they figure out that they're his long lost son.
That's not Disney at all.
But then he has this desire to go back to the jungle. So he's torn. But then there's this either evil man in the village who finds out there's the Temple of Gold. And then he goes and makes Mowgli go show him the Temple of Gold.
You said that and wasn't a direct video release?
No, this is it. But then he ends up with his forest animals helping him defeating, because there's the fire is the flower, whatever, the red flower, fire
flower. Red flower, yeah.
Yes. And then the evil guy ends up perishing, which is totally typical Disney. And the Mowgli ends up celebrating with his family and the animals of the jungle. Which seems to have more of a plot than what we had here.
Yeah, that sounds a whole lot. As you said, Jungle Book 2 or Jungle Book 3.
But yeah. Originally, this was sort of original version, one of the versions they were going to have. So it was very fascinating.
What didn't work for you?
Well, it's around the plot, but like it's just very. It feels like there's like a whole bunch of pretty much unrelated episodes. There's like here's a little bit of a story, here's a little bit of a story, here's a little bit of a story. None of it has any plot because the only plot is we got to return Mowgli to the humans, which shouldn't take more than 5 minutes. So. I don't know. I find this movie kind of boring because of that. I also find it distracting. I think this is the one that there were like two, because it took them so long to make this movie. Like they ended up using either the kid that was doing the voice hit puberty and his voice changed.
Yeah.
And they had to replace him. So there's scenes, if you're paying attention, there's scenes where his voice changes in the same scene.
Yeah.
Like pretty significantly. And yeah. I found that kind of distracting at times where it'd be like, hey, it's the same person. I'm like, yeah, this isn't
not as bad as a couple movies ago that we watched. I don't remember which one that was, but the original Treasure Island where Jim's voice changed.
Right.
Yeah. But also I feel like this is like a not as great of story as Tarzan. Like, it has a similar Tarzan-like story to me, except I find Tarzan much more interesting.
I would say Tarzan has a stronger story. I would not argue with you on that.
For sure, yeah.
I would say most Disney movies have a stronger story.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is one of the few that I actually think I like the live-action version better.
Let's see.
You want to hear a funny story about the live action version? Okay. So, this is when I was still working at Disney, and I had never put on VR goggles before. And I was waiting to either clock, I know, I think I was waiting to clock out in the tunnels of the Magic Kingdom. And somebody was like, oh, I'm watching Jungle Book on my VR. And I was like, that's crazy. What does that even mean? And so they handed me their goggles. And at the very beginning, I guess, of the movie, like you come up and there's the big ape that's sitting there, right? Well, I wasn't expecting, again, I had never put on VR goggles before. So I'm in the hallway, the main underneath hallway of the Magic Kingdom. And I put it on and I kind of go like this and I turn around and like look up. And there's this massive ape in front of me, and it scared the crap out of me. I yelled in the middle of the tunnels of the Magic Kingdom, took off the, it was just, it, I just made a scene, and I didn't mean to, but it was the live action Jungle Book that scared the crap out of me the first time I put on VR goggles. You're welcome.
And actually, one piece of trivia, there's actually two live-action Jungle Books because Disney made a live-action Jungle Book in the 90s that was actually, I think it was the first true live-action remake because it was even before 101 Dalmatians.
That was bad.
I don't think anyone watched it. It was really bad. But so this was actually remade into live action twice.
Yeah, sure. I've heard the plot is completely different on the live action. Is the plot any better on the live action?
It's not. The plot is very much different, though there is more of a plot to it, but it's still kind of the same thing. But it's not actually a shot for shot remake like some of them are. Telling a somewhat different story. I like that it has Christopher Walken as the orangutan, which anytime you get Christopher Walken in a movie is a lot of fun.
Bill Murray's Baloo.
He's fine. He's no Phil Harris. I'm not saying we should watch it. I'm just saying, ScarJo is the snake. So,
oh yeah, I got that part.
Yeah. So they got the snake. But at least the kid that they used for that movie is an actual human. He was the only thing that was actually human. If you look how they shot that movie, it's basically him running around on a green screen stage and filming him. But it's I said I'm not gonna call it a movie that we should watch here, but I think I liked it better only because it told more of a story, but it still had the songs from this, which were the best parts of this. So
Now, did you know King Louis was originally going to be Louis Armstrong?
Isn't that who it was? It wasn't?
No, it was Louis Prima. He had a Vegas show. Because they didn't want Louis Armstrong as an African-American guy to be represented by a monkey. So, because Louis Prima is an Italian guy. He's right. White. The rest of his band's black, and that were all the monkeys. But there were people that were upset about, the Louis Prima, being, a monkey, and that's, not cool. And they're going, you realize he's white, right? And so, because that was his actual voice. That was how he talked. And what they actually went out and Walt they actually brought their Vegas act to the stage, and things like where they were like, doing the monkeys and all, and that was stuff that they worked into they had in their Vegas act that they worked into the show. Mm-hmm. So we've all agreed that this music was one of the best parts, but what is your favorite song? And Kate, I will let you go first on this one. Apparently it's The Sound of Silence.
Sorry, I thought I had unmuted myself. There aren't very many songs.
Well, there's five or six of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you got the elephant one. You got Trust in Me.
Trust in Me. I Want to Be Like You. You've got a friend. That's what friends are for. Yeah.
Well, okay.
And The Girls at the End, which was originally supposed to be for Mary Poppins. You can pick the obvious one if you want to.
Can I not go first? Can I go last?
Sure, but I'm going to make everyone pick a different one.
Part of my problem is I have a favorite song, but then I have a favorite scene that's happening during a song.
What's your favorite song?
Probably Want to Be Like You.
Okay.
It's catchy. Yeah, I do have a story after everybody has said there's about a song from the Lion King or from the Jungle Book, but I'll tell that after. So, yeah. Pete.
Yeah, how about you?
So I'll be kind and leave the other one for one of you two, because I kind of like Trust in Me. It's not as good as the other two, but every time I watch this movie, I kind of forget that I like the way Sterling Holloway does that song with the snake voice and the hypnotism and everything like that. That song always works for me in the movie better than I remember it. Okay. So I'll use my vote on that one because it really works. Maybe that's the one Kate was going to say works as a scene, because
it just reminds me of Halloween at Disney, because that was one of the songs. It was either in Hallowishes it was in a soundtrack of something at Disney that it would do trust in me, and it was a soundtrack of something. So it just makes me always think of Halloween.
Yeah, it's either in the fireworks show or it's in the parade.
Yeah.
I think it's in the fireworks show.
I don't think it's in the parade.
I think it's in the fireworks show.
Yeah, I think it's in Hallowishes. So good. So good.
Steve, pick whatever song you want.
Any song. Okay. Those would be probably my top two is I Want to Be Like You, Just Like You, and then Trust in Me. If I was going with number three, it would be the Bare Necessities.
Oh, I should have given you Trust in Me because actually Bare Necessities is my favorite.
But Trust in Me and I Just Want to Be Like You are my top two.
Okay. I'm actually going to go, and this was my original thought. I love the Colonel Hathi's March. The army march, the elephant march. Yeah. I love that song. Just
that was the one I was deciding between.
Yeah. Just because I like the fact that that feels like a Sherman Brothers song. That very much feels like a Sherman Brothers.
Just going to say that feels the most Mary Poppins-y.
Very much. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it could have been taken out of a scene from that movie.
Yeah.
So.
Well, isn't the elephant colonel, was he in Mary Poppins?
No. Okay, the voice was, yes. Yeah. He was the guy, the head guy at the horse race.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The voice was the head guy at the horse race. But then the fact that, he uses has the Verna Felton scene and has the Clint Howard Little Baby Elephants in it. But I just love the march and the little kid saying the line, not quite right.
Yeah.
So I've always loved that. That song was actually on one of the original, the best of the classic Disney CDs when there were like two different ones. That was actually the first song that they actually took from this was that. So, I mean, I've always enjoyed it. So, Kate, was the Colonel Hathi's March the one you were going to talk about, the scene you liked the best?
Yeah, because that's just my favorite scene. And it's just so, I get it. It's slapstick humor. It's in your face, but it makes me giggle. Every time that I've seen that scene, it makes me giggle. The story I was going to tell, though, was when I was, I think it was in the fifth grade, either fifth or sixth grade, whenever. Do you remember when DARE was a thing in school?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a song that was called Look for the DARE Necessities.
Why does this not surprise me?
I was going to say this. I totally pictured little Kate doing little Katie
for the DARE Necessities, and I sang it in front of the whole school for our DARE assembly.
Hair back in the ponytail.
Yeah. We have like a group on Facebook of all the kids who graduate because I went to a private Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade. And somebody brought up, remember when you sang the DARE Necessities? And I was like, how bad did you all have to ridicule me to remember that? How embarrassing. But
now, does she still remember any of it?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'm sure I have the words printed somewhere because my mother keeps everything. So I'm sure they're somewhere. I'll find them.
Okay. Guys, we'll forgive you.
Any other thoughts on Jungle Book? As I said, last movie that Disney did. You can tell, though, I've always been able to tell, after the mid-50s, his heart wasn't really in the movies.
Well, certainly in the animated movies, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, to me, after Sleeping Beauty feels like the last one that the studio really invested in, and then it bombed hard, and then I felt like after that, he was too interested in Disneyland and all the other stuff
and world. Yeah.
It was kind of like, well, we got to keep making these animated movies. So we're going to keep doing it. But yeah.
Okay. Well, as we always do, we do cups of five pixie dust on every movie. Kate, for the Jungle Book.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 2.5 just for the nostalgia factor. Pete.
I think that's where I am too. 2.5. It's not the worst Disney animated movie, but it's far from the best. And the songs keep it afloat, and some of the character acting in it. There's scenes that are worthy, but it's not one I would go back and visit a lot. So yeah, I'm going to call it a 2.5 too. Steve?
For me, it's a 3, more for nostalgia, because I remember watching it when I was growing up, because I think it was re-released into the theaters or something. So
it got re-released a bunch 5 times.
So I think that's probably why more it's that connection there. So like I'm between that 2.5-3, but I'm going to go with the 3.
Yeah, and I even as the defender of the faith of the old school animated movies, where I'm usually have the highest rating, it's a 2.5 for me. And I think that's the very top end of what I was. Honestly, I was between a 2 and a 2.5 on this, just because if you take away the songs, this is a not good movie.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And songs cannot bump movies up a ton. So, I mean,
that I would disagree with.
They can bump a movie up. Right. They can't bump a movie up 3, like 2 no. points.
Right. For sure.
So, okay. Kate, what have we got for the Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah. So for the Disney Plus news, Disney Plus is developing a live action Tinkerbell series that will be called Tink.
Yeah, this was actually done, thought of several years ago. It was originally going to be Reese Witherspoon as Tinkerbell.
Well, no, wasn't it going to be the announcer lady from Pitch Perfect? I thought was going to be in the Tinkerbell live action thing.
This has been done multiple times, like thought of multiple times. As long as they don't try and pull Julie Andrews, hook, help.
Oh, Julie Roberts?
Thank you. As long as they don't try and pull her in again, maybe it's Tinkerbell's grandmother. But so
what we don't need is another live action. Like, we just don't.
But the kids would eat it up.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right.
My daughter has, I know this is irrelevant to our reviews, but my daughter has been making us rewatch the Tinkerbell movies, the animated movies, which are mostly really bad. But like, I'm still really surprised that, because like Disney was all behind those for like 5 years.
There was going to be a Fairy Hollow section in the New Magic Kingdom.
Right. I mean, they were all in on it. And there was a big Pixie Hollow meet and greet in California that they built too.
Yeah.
There was one in Disney World for a long time.
Yeah, it was small though. But yeah, they made a much bigger one. Because you could meet multiple fairies or whatever. But anyways, it's just surprising how fast that was popular and then how quickly they flushed it. Because it was like five or six movies. And they had one every year, and then all of a sudden it was like, eh. So I guess it doesn't surprise me. And what was funny is we were watching those, and I was like, oh, wow, I'm surprised they don't try to bring these back, but bring it back live action, I don't know. That's rough.
Yeah. Although, you have got better news in the second part.
I do. A live action Robin Hood movie in development for Disney Plus has been canceled. Yay. No updates in the last 5 years. This should hardly be seen as a surprise. It's also been done. Live action Robin Hood.
No. Think the Lion King. It was going to be the animal.
Live action animal Robin Hood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The and this comes from the creator has said, no, it is officially completely dead.
Yikes.
Yeah, so
that's not even a good movie either. I know a lot of people love it, but
I didn't say love it. I said there are moments of animation that with Sir Hiss that are brilliant. To get a snake to be able to cross his arms.
What I'll say is, like this movie, coming back to the Jungle Book, there are parts of that movie that work really well and parts of it that are painful.
Bad.
Yeah.
I would totally agree. So.
And that's it for the Disney Plus news.
Okay. Next week, we are watching Zootopia 2. Zootopia 2 has come out on Disney Plus this week. As I said, I believe last I checked, it was the highest grossing animated movie ever made. Higher than Zootopia 1.
Yes.
So, which means inevitably there will be 3, 4, 5, and 14 coming out. But
and can we give them credit for not calling it either Tootopia or Zootopia? like they just called it Zootopia 2.
Zootopia. I'm kind of upset that they didn't call it that. I'm gonna be really honest with you. Oh.
I don't like it when they do those things. So.
Especially if it's forced. But say something to. I will say they have been doing that more and more as far as like.
Oh, when you go TOO to?
No. But as far as like they have been doing more, just put the number 2 at the end and leave it. As opposed to trying to get like, you know, Monsters Inc. versus Monsters University or, you know, the trying to, you know, just say it's the same, but just a different story and not just a 2. I agree. If it's a sequel, just say it's 2.
Yeah.
So, we've got that coming up. We've got a couple other things coming up, but guys, we need suggestions. We need to know what you want us to watch. So please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. Go back. If you're going back and watching old episodes and want to comment, we will still respond to you guys. Had a couple comments from some of our stuff from last year that, you know, had a decent conversation about with the person who commented. They still didn't give us anything, any suggestions on what to watch. But send us suggestions. We want to know what you want us to watch. We have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, we wish you will come back. We will see you this summer, and we will see everyone.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.